Thank you, Lord Jesus, for good intercessors who truly pray with intensity from the heart. Please bless them for all their hard labor and suffering. Amen. My precious family, I've been collecting thoughts for messages for the past week, and now as I spend substantial time in praise and worship, the Lord is gelling them in my heart and mind. I did expect to have a quiet week where there would be a lot of prayer and I'd get a lot done, and it's been anything but. I've recently discovered that I'm not the perfect mate for Superman. No, I fall far, far short. And no matter how noble and determined my motives are, I simply cannot be in two places at once. I guess I'm growing up, guys. You know us children have a long ways to go before we are fully grown into the promised stature of the Lord. It is most apparent to me that will not happen on this earth, but I can still try. I just don't want to get discouraged when I fail. Let's all of us run to our Savior's waiting arms and let him kiss the boo-boo in our hearts when we just can't live up to what we want to do. After all, we are human. We have some wonderful people who have left the world to come and follow the Lord. And our youngest and most recent is a 19-year-old young man from New Orleans. He used to attend a non-denominational denomination church. Well, we all know how tradition springs up in even the most open environments. And that is a topic for later. He had been in touch with us for several months and wanted to come, but didn't know what the right decision was. He was very hung up on pleasing his friends, family, and the world. He really wanted with all his heart to come, but then he just got a scholarship and roommates, and his first day of school began. I've noticed that candidates get lost in the emails. I believe that in spite of our prayers, the enemy still gets away with blocking names and intentions, so they're somewhat overlooked. So sometimes I lose track of people, and I lost track of him. So I took some time the other morning just to see if anyone was missing. And lo and behold, his application had gotten lost, and I found it. As I read his request, coming from such a sweet and tender, sincere heart, I melted. How did I overlook him? Well, we know the answer to that one. In any case, when I sought the Lord about him coming, I got Holy Spirit and the Bible promises. Wow. I contacted him immediately, and he responded immediately, and we got to the very crux of the discernment issue. Here he was, poised for college, his first day of school, settled in with friends who gave him lodging, and he's going to just up and leave? You have to be kidding. He wanted to come, but he didn't want to disappoint his friends and relatives. We know that one, don't we? So I popped the question, would you rather disappoint the Lord? Well, that opened the door to the pros and cons, and honestly, dear ones, I am not a fan of education. Even the Bible schools tend to strip you of your faith. My word of advice to all of you, based on the fruit of a college education that I've seen, is that unless you're called to be a doctor, a lawyer, or other professional that calls for university training, you're really risking your salvation and being left behind in the rapture, because you get so involved and enmeshed with the world that you turn lukewarm. Why? Everything's organized around the intellect, money, power, and the world. The more education you get, the more in danger you are of losing your faith. Simply stated, going to school is going to an institution whose whole purpose is to prepare you to fit into the world with skill. God is irrelevant. Even if it's a Christian university, you will still be getting mental, emotional, and intellectual grooming to be prepared to fit into the world. So what did Jesus do? He chose fishermen who no doubt were without higher learning. to be his core group and spread the gospel. With one exception, Judas, and you can see how that went. Lord, really, I want you to take over here. Jesus began, but my beloved, you are doing so well in mirroring my thoughts. Lord, they prefer your voice. Can I blame them? My daughter, you do not as yet understand. I am continually mirroring my thoughts and sentiments in your heart where I reside. I am your spouse, and the two are one flesh. You receive me in communion, so our union is complete. Most of the time, Claire, your thoughts are my thoughts. Okay, well then, since they're so close together, would you please speak to us? Since you insist, he smiled and twinkled, I will. Mother Claire has spoken my heart. There are very few who truly need a higher education. The best education you can get is what I gave my disciples. I live the life of God on earth to reveal to them how they should live. With education, the world puts so much emphasis on pride, competition, self-esteem, accomplishment, with scorn and contempt for the supernatural, and a bias against any perspective that contradicts the worldview, most especially the faith that I've taught you. Do you really think I would have denied my apostles a higher education, which, by the way, did exist back then, if it would have benefited them? Really, the most predictable result is a Judas of Iscariot. From beginning to end, you are taught to conform to the status quo. That is, if you want to graduate with honor, and in some institution, graduate at all. These schools make sure that you are conformed to the world in every single class. If you want to serve the world, by all means, get a college education and even beyond. But if you want to serve me, walk in my ways with me, and I will guide you. It's just that simple. What this young man did was to confront the outcome of both ways. He didn't wait until the end of the road, 10 years later, when he was lukewarm and well fit into the world. Rather, he discerned the outcome ahead of time and chose the path less traveled because of the fire that was burning in his heart, a gift from me. If he had chosen the world, thinking he could keep his faith through it all, he would have met with compromise sooner than later. He made the right decision based on his heart. I live there, by the way, and he knew right from wrong what path would lead to greater depth and union with me. Bravo! Where most fail is at this very crossroad. Just when you are set to go to school to please parents, friends, and church, you rejected it all to follow me, and now you will learn my ways, even as my apostles did. You made the right choice. Don't look back. Claire, tell them what happened. Well, to make a long story short, he asked me what I would do, and I told him. Then I emphasized that he had to choose. I could not choose for him. And he said, I choose Jesus. He said this several times throughout our conversation. I also gave him a taste of what 10 years down the road could look like, chained to a job to pay a mortgage and support a family, off to church on Sunday, with a deep yearning to go deeper with the Lord, but a life that was tied to the world with no way of escape. Now I want to say here, not all Christians who go to college are doing the wrong thing. God does lead people into college for specific reasons, but they are well aware of the necessity of a college education and are deeply set on keeping their faith. God supports them, and they get through it, still on fire for Him. But these people are rare. For the most part, higher learning strips you naked of your faith and dresses you in the world's opinions from the inside out. So I asked this young man several times what he wanted, And he kept replying, "I choose Jesus." Then came a very tough decision how to go about this. I could see he had deep feelings for his friends and relatives, and he knew this would really hurt and disappoint them. Yet his heart was set on pleasing God alone. Can you imagine this first day of school? Everything's getting set up for you. You have a place to live. You've got friends. You've got a future. Wow. He didn't know how to break it to them. So I said, "Well, there are two ways. Just get on a bus, come here, and deal with it later by mail. Or spend the next 2 weeks defending what others are unlikely to understand." I also shared with him how everyone who comes here goes through that kind of fire. The elders of the church, interventions with friends and family, long conversations that end in, "You're deceived," and many sleepless nights as well. Well, the truth is, anyway, you do it, you'll have sleepless nights. But I believe it's less stressful to just get up and go rather than through endless interrogations that end in, "Well, I think you're making a big mistake, but I still love you." So this is precisely what we went through in the world when we left. We were attending a very upstate church in Washington, D.C., with an Oxford-educated pastor and his wife, who loved us dearly. Fortunately for us, as we were determining how to move out of the world, they were having a huge wedding with relatives streaming in from England, and their minds were very caught up in all the preparations. But when all of that was done, we had already made the decision and were packing to go. Nonetheless, two elders came over to cross-examine us, and the pastor was very disappointed, but pledged his love. And I won't tell you what our parents said. Jesus continued, "Anyone who loves father, mother, children, etc., more than me is not worthy of me. When you know that I am calling you, dear ones, take courage and act on it. Don't be cowed by relatives, teachers, or any other person you are answering, because you are answering my call to you. And though they don't understand, it is still valid, and no amount of talking will persuade them otherwise. State your case, stand on it." So, to finish this episode, our young one dropped what he was doing, got to the bus station in New Orleans, bought his ticket, and 6 hours later left for Taos. It was a 31-hour journey, and he went through all kinds of difficult feelings and thoughts. But just when he was hurting the most, God sent a Christian woman in to minister to him, and he made it through. I have to admit that when I went to sleep that night, I figured I'd wake up to a text that said, "Sorry, I just couldn't leave them. I'm on my way back." Well, nothing could be further from the truth. Instead of that, I got an enthusiastic greeting, more like, "Good morning, I can hardly wait to hug you." And so he arrived, with his face buried in his shirt, crying tears of joy. He just couldn't believe he was here and accepted. As I spent time with him, I understood why God had called him out of the world. He is a very tender soul who knows Scripture fairly well and was eager to learn. I spent a long time explaining some things to him. Then we had the Lord's Supper together. I gave him his first absolution based on John 20:23, and he received Jesus in the Eucharist for the first time. We lingered with the Lord for a long time, and I couldn't believe how hungry and how tuned in he was to the Lord. Glory to God. It was such a sweet experience. So now he's up on the mountain meeting the rest of the crew, enjoying prayer with them, and able to talk freely about the things that mean so much to him and that were very difficult to explain to his friends. He knew they wouldn't be accepted. things, for instance, about confession and the Eucharist and the intercession of the saints, all of that had left an impact on him, and he just wasn't able to burst out of that fear bubble and broach that subject. In fact, he'd asked a couple people to share the channel with them, but they weren't interested. So it wasn't easy for him to really feel a peace about sharing. And yet, going up to the mountain, he's finding out really what it's all about. They are very loving up there, and they have lots of prayer time. So, my dear ones, I just wanted to catch you up on what I've been doing. There's a whole lot more I want to share with you, but it's going to take a while here. So the Lord bless you and keep you and fill you with his peace and his courage. And for those of you who've had a heart for what the Lord is doing here, you've been so kind and supported us, even though I haven't had as many messages lately. I really appreciate it. You're keeping us going. We're able to get the materials that we need. We finished one house. We're starting on the chapel and another house. So we've got three buildings going up right now. And thank God for the workers that he sent. In fact, Ezekiel had a vision that's my husband, that the windows of heaven were going to open and people were going to come to help us get this done before the winter sets in, and that materials would be abundant. So that vision is coming to pass. In the meantime, we're praying for those, the community around the mountain, many of whom are Satanists, generational Satanists, and we're praying for them and keeping our hearts from any kind of rancor because of the gate being closed. We all take quite a beating going up that road and coming back. It's a really tough road. But we're offering it to the Lord for their conversion because we really want them to know Jesus. So thank you for standing with us. Thank you for being faithful. And thank you so very much for your prayers. They are really, really working. God bless you.